Welcome to the Real Live Faith Podcast. I'm Shelby.
And I'm Janice. Life is a parable. All of creation points to God the Creator. We're going to be talking about how we see this in action in our everyday lives and how we use our good days and our mess ups to grow in our relationship with the Lord.
We don't know in what season of life you find yourself currently, but let this be a season of new life and growth. Join us as we talk about having real faith in real life.
Have you ever been in a conversation with someone and thought, maybe they just don't quite understand? You know, you keep talking, but they looked as if they've just kind of checked out. Have you ever felt rushed in a conversation or felt as though they were waiting on you to respond? Sometimes communicating is just hard, and it seems like technology doesn't make it any easier to understand one another.
For many of us, the way we process information can make it difficult to relate to and understand one another. Most people process things they hear and read either in an external manner or an internal manner. We also tend to process different experiences, trials, and ideas in both of these ways. And I know we probably don't need to be reminded, but we're not all created the same. We're not carbon copies of each other. We are uniquely made by God. He has fashioned and formed every part of us together, our physical traits, our personalities, and even the way we process interactions in life. So because God designed both the external and internal processors, neither one is bad because he created us like that. Just like Psalm 139 verse 13 says, "For you created my innermost parts, you wove me in my mother's womb."
There are so many relationships in life that involve communication. I think of work relationships, family relationships, and even just relationships with friends. It is inevitable that at some point in life, we will engage in communication. So why not try and understand better how you process things in relation to someone else and how to use that knowledge to your benefit as well as the other person?
The internet is overflowing with all kinds of personality tests and quizzes like the Enneagram test, or they'll label you type A or type B, or the Myers-Briggs test, which is all about introvert and extrovert. And their goal is to try to help you better understand yourself and others, but they fail to define who we are as people because people and relationships are too complex for any computerized program to try and label you.
And the thing that really sticks out to me is that people fall victim to these, and they're allowing these tests to give them their identity. They are trying to let these man-made tests determine who they are. When what you just read in Psalm 139, you said, you created, you meaning God created us. Shouldn't he be the one to determine our identity? He's the one who made us. He knows exactly why he made us. He knows for what purpose he made us. He already knows the plans he has for us. You know, Jeremiah 29:11, everybody knows that verse. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." We should be letting God determine who we are and not a man-made test. And they may have good intentions of, you know, coming up with these quizzes and tests and trying to tell us who we are, but they're not taking into consideration a biblical worldview. And what is their purpose? They're trying to get you to feel better about yourself because you fit into a category along with so many other people.
Yeah, it gives us a sense of identity and purpose. We fit in with a group of people. For the people who feel left out by others or that they don't fit into a certain clique in society are often left out, and then they find these personality tests and they think, oh, now I belong to this group of people. There's people like me, but people are different. God created us all different.
That's right. And people, they get, you know, depressed and anxious because they will see someone else acting a certain way and they'll think, I'm weird. Or they may even, and I hate to say this, but they'll think they're a freak, you know, like just something that's not normal. And that is so sad. It is so sad, the fact that these quizzes and personality tests make us feel that way. You know, that we look at ourselves and we're not comfortable in our own skin being who we are. You know, we are the product of our mom and our dad and our upbringing, and yet we can't even be comfortable with who we are. We have to try and take a personality test to figure out what is normal. You know, well, now I fit into a box. Now I'm a type A and I'm a whatever number, and I'm, you know, this on the Myers-Briggs. And so, you know, it's cool and I can embrace it because I fit into a group.
But then they get discouraged because they feel like that's all they can be. And so when you tell someone they are type ABC, that's all they can be, and they don't feel like they have any individuality. Those tests remove the uniqueness from the human race. We are not just one thing. We may not be only type A. We may not be only a number 6 or a number 7. Sometimes we're different numbers, especially us girls. The way God created us, our emotions and our hormones change things so that we're not the same constantly, and that's okay.
Right? Maybe we're a 1,052 or something.
Right?
It's really just nonsense, you know, the way these things work. And ultimately, the result of all of these tests on people is division. It does nothing but divide us against one another. It's type A, unite, you know, and the type Bs are the weirdos. Or the other way, introverts, unite. Those extroverts are loud mouths and awful, you know. Either way, you're being divisive. By making these numbers and categories and trying to fit people into a box.
Yeah, or you feel like you can't be friends or in a relationship with someone because they're not a compatible type for you. Well, they're not always that type that they are all the time. Everybody's always a little bit different in different circumstances, in different seasons of life, at different ages. So your significant other or your best friend may not be the perfect match on paper, but you guys work together because that's the way God created you to work.
And it's awesome because everybody has a strength. The Bible talks about this unity and diversity just within the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says in verse 12 of that chapter, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." And then further down in 1 Corinthians 12, in verse 15, it says, "If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.'" And then further down in verse 24, it says, "God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another." So where all of those personality tests have division as a result, God is for the unity of the body. He knows that there's going to be differences between us, and actually that works to our advantage. Someone else's strength complements our weakness, and where we are strong, we can complement their weakness. Which is why you often hear the phrase opposites attract. Well, no wonder they attract. You don't want to be the same, right? And as those verses we're talking about, if everybody was the eye, then how would you have any smelling being accomplished, right? So there needs to be differences. And God created us all unique and different. And he did it on purpose because he knows that we can benefit from that, having that variety and diversity within one another. But also, you know, God made us how? In his image, right? We read about that in the book of Genesis. God created man in his image. So guess what? All of the people and all of our differences, all of the ways that our personalities are across the globe, we are a reflection of God. He is not a type A number 972 in whatever letter on the Myers-Briggs, right? He is everything. He is everything from A to Z. And so the body of Christ is going to represent that as well. Every combination of personality and characteristics from A to Z. So if the wrong way to find our identity is in personality tests and assigning numbers and things the way the world would like us to do it, what is the right way to find our identity? Well, it's to go to the one who created you. He should be the one to define you, right? After all, he knows the number of hairs on your head. And that's pretty personal if you ask me. Luke 12:7 says, indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, you are of more value than many sparrows. So where do you find your identity? You find it in Christ. So maybe if you're struggling with your identity, dig into Psalm 139. Read through and realize the way that God made you, how he made you, the fact that he made you, and how valuable you are to him. You don't have to struggle with your personality type. He has made you who you are, and it is not inferior to others. It's also not superior to others, because like we said earlier, he has formed you and made you and given you those gifts and talents because he has a purpose for your life. And his word, the Bible, shows you that. You know, we talk about these differences between people and how we're all made differently, and it's not just a secular or worldly point of view. I mean, it doesn't really take a genius. When you talk to somebody and you interact with other people, you're going to notice things about them, right? You know, do you like to talk about things out loud? Do you like to talk with another person? Do you process things in your mind alone and without the distraction of other people's opinions? Do you like to hang out and talk in groups of people? Are you more comfortable at home, just in the quietness of your own space?
There is no right or wrong way to process the interactions and experiences we have in life. It's just the way we're designed. It's not a weakness to process internally. It's not weird or abnormal to process externally. So far we've mentioned this in relationships with friends and maybe a significant other, but it can also be seen in the workplace. So if you've ever been to a job interview or you've filled out an application that asks for you to tick the box that says, I'm a team player, or I communicate well with others, or you know, something along the lines of you're sociable to a certain extent. That's kind of similar to all of these personality tests in the sense that they're expecting you to have a certain level of personality and engagement preference. And that's not to say that there won't be certain tasks that require a level of communication to be had. You know, it's necessary to be able to talk to a customer or engage with your coworkers. But you don't have to hide who you are just to fit that mold. You can be your own personality and have your own personality and still fit the job requirement. You can do the task that you are asked to do while still also being someone who may not like to be sociable all the time. You can be honest when you don't want to go to a party. You can be honest when you don't really want to chat after work, because that doesn't hinder your ability to do the job.
You know, this may be kind of a tough topic to listen to. You know, maybe there are some people who they've always felt like they were a certain type or a certain number, and they were, you know, a certain personality. And so maybe you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, this makes me kind of nervous, because you have put a lot of faith and trust into those personality tests. But we just want to caution you with that outlook, because one day you may find yourself working with or married to, or the parent of, those who process differently than you. And when you do, we highly encourage you to let the Lord take you on a journey of learning more about humility, patience, and grace. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility, consider one another as more important than yourselves.
So learn about the personality traits and characteristics of people that are different from you. It's good. It's one step to recognize that you're different, but the next step is to learn how to engage with one another because of those differences. You may have disagreements. You may get frustrated with each other at times.
So two words that immediately come to mind are humility and communication. So when we are humble and we are being considerate of other people and their differences, it makes it easier for us to communicate. And when we have that door of communication open, now we are on the path of unity instead of division. So as you engage with others in relationships throughout your life, have grace. There may be moments where you don't understand how someone is dealing with a situation or processing their feelings. Remember, people don't always process in one single way. We process multiple ways, as you were saying earlier. So we need to try to come to a place of understanding and have compassion toward that other person, because we also may have likely processed in a similar manner at one time or another. So be gentle with each other. Remember, differences do not always equal weaknesses. Our differences can be strengths that benefit others. As believers, we're on the same team. We have the opportunity to reach the lost in this world by shining the light of Christ and being a witness and an example for Him.
So this talk is probably a little bit different than most of the ones that you have heard on personalities. And at the end of those podcasts, you may hear the host tell you to go take a personality test and figure out your type. But instead of doing that, we want to tell you this time to become aware of the way that you process life and become aware of the way other people process life and the differences between the two. And then look for examples in scripture of people who process the same way that you do. Learn how they did it right. Learn how to turn it into a strength, because the Lord gave it to you. It's a gift. Your personality is a gift from the Lord that He gives you when you're born. So learn how to use it for Him. Learn how to employ it in a way that stewards it well. And then remember to be respectful to the people who are different from you, because you complement one another. There is no right or wrong when it comes to processing internally or processing externally or any other way in between. But we need to learn how to use those gifts to our advantage so that we can strengthen our relationship both with God and with other people.
If you have not placed your faith in Christ, why wait? Seek Him and call on His name for salvation. Confess that you are a sinner and repent of your sin. Surrender to Jesus today and place your trust in Him as Savior and Lord of your life.
Thanks for listening to the Real Life Faith Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share us with others so they too can learn about living out real faith in real life. You can check out our blog and shop at reallifefaith.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Gab Social. Don't forget to sign up for our emails to receive exclusive subscriber content. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.